باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنام، سيدنا ومولانا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا، أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيت الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, please recite the salawat. Inshallah, we become his true and close companions. Recite the second one louder. Inshallah, all the love that we have for the Lady Fatima to Zahra, Salamullah alayha, recite the third one even louder. In the Farsi culture, we would call this night Shami Ghariban, the night after the Shahada of the Lady Fatima to Zahra, because the orphans of that lady are an Amir al-Mu'mineen, salawatullah alayhi. Amir al-Mu'mineen has lost the support that he used to have, the one that, as difficult as things would get, when he would go home, one smile from the Lady Fatima to Zahra would relieve him. And he lost that today. Tonight, he will be burying that lady. We express our condolences to the Imam of our time. If we, as the Shia, hearing the stories, hearing the pains, it's difficult for us to take it, Imam al-Hujjah is the son of Zahra. And he knows what actually took place. It's different to hear a description and to see it before you. The way Imam al-Hujjah, ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu al-sharif, knows about this, it's as though he's observing it. So wherever he is, ya baqiyatallah, azzamallah ujurak, we express our condolences, and we hope that we would be able to show loyalty to the Imam of our time in a way that the people in Medina on these days didn't show to Amir al-Mu'mineen, and made the Lady Fatima to Zahra have to go and protect Amir al-Mu'mineen and get crushed between the door and the wall. Okay. We hope that we don't do that again. Right? I hope all of us are thinking along those lines. I hope we try to think that the living Imam of ours, who is alive as alive can be, more lively than any of us, he's been alive for 1,000 years, and he continues that, we realize that we have that sort of connection with the Imam of our time. We don't want to be like those people in Medina. As much as we condemn them these days, as much as we should do that, we don't want to be the same type of people that those people were to their Imam. We don't want to be that to the Imam of our time. And it really makes me shiver if we really think about that. The time we come, we talk about something, we talk about someone, we talk about history, we condemn this person, we condemn that person, as though it is completely irrelevant to us. It's something that has nothing to do with me. Well, we get together, talk about the past, and then we get up and leave. If we're talking about it in a way where it's applicable to us, it's something very real, then it should cause us to shiver. What if I am not realizing, but I'm actually doing the exact same thing that the people in Medina did? How many times do we have to have the Imam of the time go and knock on the doors and say, come out? The Lady Fatima al-Zahra, along with Amir al-Mu'mineen and Imam al-Hasan and Imam al-Husayn, went to the doors of the Ansar 3 nights in a row. They knocked and said, "Don't you remember Ghadir?" Conversations back and forth. They were convinced, "Tomorrow you're going to show up dressed in white, shave off your head, and come out." Next morning, 5 people. They convinced 40 people. 5 people showed up. 6 people would show up. Second night, what happened? Same thing. How many times does the imam of the time have to come and knock on the door? Does he really have to come? Did he have to go and knock on the door? Hadn't that already been explained to the people? Hasn't it already been explained to us? Our obligations, our responsibilities to the imam of our time? Does he have to come and knock on the door? Don't you call yourself a Shia? Why aren't you out there? Why aren't you doing what you need to be doing? I'm afraid that our status could, God forbid, could even be worse than the people in Medina. We don't even realize that there is an obligation. To then say, well, should I go, should I not go, and then decide not to go. We're so busy with our daily lives, making money and figuring out how we're going to spend it and how we're going to increase it and this and that, and where we're going to go for vacation, that we don't even realize what in the world the imam of our time wants of us. God forbid. This is a reminder for all of us. Every one of these shahada, every commemoration, the reason why it's important that we commemorate is not to get together and have a cultural gathering and feel, alhamdulillah, we took care of it, now let's go back to our daily lives. No, the reason why this is important is because it's supposed to bring new life to us. And this is new life. Waking up, realizing. I hope that happens. What I wanted to talk about on this night is quoting a line from a tawqi' of the imam of our time, Ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu sharif. We have a number of tawqi'at. Tawqi' is a writing, a letter that the imam of our time would write. Of course, we have writings and letters from our previous imams as well. But most of the tawqiyat that we have available to us belong to the 12th imam. That was the means of communication with the public during the time of the minor occultation. Brothers and sisters, go study your religion. I just received an email today, and it contained a link to I believe it was a dissertation, so it's going to be, if not already a book, it will be a book. And it's telling us about how the occultation took place. And if we don't go and learn what actually happened there, and get those books and our sources translated into the English language, these people are going to give us and tell us what it was like. And I'm telling you, if you start reading that, you're going to start questioning everything about your faith. Not because it's actually questionable. No, I've studied it. I don't say this because I was born Shia. And I've studied this. I've looked into it. Every single line of it. I've checked it with everything that I could. And the more I read about it, the more confident and certain I was that this is the right thing. But if a person is not equipped with that knowledge and they come across this, it sounds like a whole conspiracy theory. The whole idea of a hidden imam sounds like a conspiracy theory. Be careful. Make sure you learn your stuff. Make sure your families, your children, youth, you guys, you know, the younger generation, you got to start reading. You got to equip yourself. Learn your religion. not because mom or dad said it, but because it's important. I mean, out of curiosity, is this all baloney or is it real? Read it, study it, think about it. There's a tawqi' from the Imam of our time when a people were actually debating that very fact. Is there a living Imam or is there not? Some people said, some of the great ulama of the time, like Uthman ibn Sa'id al-Amri, like his son Muhammad ibn Uthman ibn Sa'id al-Amri, these two companions of the 11th Imam, who were so trustworthy that the Imam said regarding them, whatever they say and they attribute to me, I have said it and do not question it. That's how trustworthy they were. Okay? They said, we have seen the Imam. We have seen our young Imam, 5 years of age, when he became the Imam. So there are some that say, there is an Imam, but we didn't see him. There were Shia that were doubting that. It was a debate. So these people were going back and forth talking about this. Is this real? Is it not real? They said, well, okay, if he's real, then let's ask for something. So they wrote a letter. They said, okay, if the Imam is real, here, we need a response. And we're going to judge by the response of this letter. A response came from the Imam, tawqi'ah. Within it, so that's all background, important. I wanted to share that to instigate your curiosity so that you would go and read. But a line in that is this, related to today. The Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha. فابنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله لي أسوة حسنة. The Imam of our time has said, in, he doesn't say our mother, he says, in the daughter of the Prophet, Lady Fatima al-Zahra, for me there is أسوة حسنة, a good role model. The Imam of our time says, I consider the daughter of the Prophet, which is his mother as well, his great-grandmother, I consider her to be my role model. An Imam is saying the Lady Fatima al-Zahra is a role model. The first thing that we'd like to say about this, and hopefully we get to understand this, is the way we look at things is really important. There's a person that watches sports, their youth, their children, their kids, young adults, people, even sometimes in their old ages, they watch sports. Okay. And they're really seriously treating it as entertainment. Oh, they watch the sport game, okay. Maybe they had a little bit of popcorn with it as well. Sport is done. The game is done. It's done. You get back to work. That game, those players, those athletes, what they just did in that hour, 2 hours, however long the game took, it wasn't really important. It's just pastime. A little bit of entertainment. And you get back to your real life, right? But some people take it a bit more serious. They know every single one of their names. Okay. That becomes a lot more. You don't know this guy's name? Then after knowing the person's name, now what shoes do they wear? What's their jersey number? Okay. What team are they in this year? How many hoops did they shoot? How many points did they make? How many this, that? Do they have tattoos? Do they not have tattoos? Everything. And then it becomes so important. You start seeing this person is willing to pay 100. I don't know what shoe prices are these days of those athletes. Back in the days in the 90s, early 90s, where I knew a little bit about that, people were buying $100, were like, that's too much. You're paying too much for shoes. And I don't know what the prices are now. But you go out of your way. Some people take it that serious. Right? That's what you call a role model. That person, that youth, that child, has taken that athlete as a role model. What's a role model? You look at everything that they're doing and you try to emulate that. That's a role model. When we come to religion, people have both of these two different approaches. Some of us get together, we come, you know, it's a weekend. We spend an hour here, nice entertainment. We leave the masjid. We heard a lot of good things about the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha. We get back home, and it was in this year, out that year, alhamdulillah, we had, you know, we enjoyed that. It's nice religious entertainment. Instead of laughing, we shed tears. Okay. Now we sort of had some emotional relief. It helps us emotionally, psychologically, physically. And that's it. That's it. We hear loads of descriptions of Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullahi alayhi. And it's just entertainment. Do we take the Ahlul Bayt as Uswatun Hasan, a role model? The Imam of our time says she is a role model. If we're taking her as a role model, if we're serious about that, the Holy Prophet is a role model. Amir al-Mu'mineen is a role model. The Lady Fatima al-Zahra is a role model. Imam al-Hasan, Imam al-Husayn. We've got 12 Imams, the Holy Prophet and Lady Fatima al-Zahra. If they are our role models, we should be asking the same questions. What type of shoes did they wear? What type of clothes did they wear? Do we ask those questions? How do they speak? You try to emulate them. This is what we need to start developing in ourselves. If the Lady Fatima al-Zahra is Uswatun Hasana for everyone, right? Now for sisters, she's a complete role model. Everything that she did. For men, as a human being, one of the best of human beings, she is a role model. So let's look at her in that way. I want to share one aspect of this lady in the few minutes that I have remaining. That clock is right, right? There's two of them here. It's two different timings. That one's right. I go, is 7 or 7:10? Okay, I'm not going to. Okay, good. Recite a salawat, please. The second one, please. The Lady Fatima al-Zahra, and we're trying to look at her as someone that we're going to be looking at everything that she did, not just to hear it and go back home and pat ourselves on the back and say, oh, that was nice, or alhamdulillah, we follow the school of thought. No, as a role model. So now it's important for us. One of the things we need to learn from this lady, if we put a few different things together, and I'll mention just a few glimpses of her life, and I want to draw one conclusion from all of these. When did the Lady Fatima al-Zahra lose her mother? She was a child, around 7 or 8. Okay, imagine a little girl, 7 or 8 years of age, losing her mother, right? What would this little girl be doing? Especially if her father is the leader of a movement because of whom a number of people are actually suffering. Let's not forget. The Holy Prophet is in Shi'bu Abi Talib. That's when the Lady Khadija passes away. Do we understand what Shi'bu Abi Talib is? You hear all these sanctions against the Islamic Republic, right? What do you think the Islamic Republic looks like right now? Those of you who haven't visited, you're like, okay, things are difficult, right? No, they're not too difficult, alhamdulillah, by the grace of God. But sanctions are supposed to make things difficult, right? Shi'a Abu Abi Talib was really difficult. Sometimes for days, they were struggling to find food. A people are suffering. They're suffering because they say, we don't believe in these idols. This way of life is wrong. Okay? So the Holy Prophet is leading this movement, and a people are suffering because they believe in this man. It's difficult, right? Just put yourself, have you been to Hajj? Some of you have, right? You go with whoever is leading that qafila, right? In those difficult times, just think how you feel. You just want to strangle that guy. Why in the world did you bring us here? Why did you not account for this or for that and so on? That's temporary for a day or two. 3 years. 3 years people are suffering. 3 years. I don't think I can do justice to this, but think about that, right? 3 years people suffering. Suffering, not having the right food, not having the right water. People are not selling them stuff. They don't have goods. There's no trade. Marriage is an issue. Families are split up. So you can imagine the amount of pressure that's mounting on that leader, the Holy Prophet. And now his wife passes away, and they have a little daughter who is 7 or 8 years of age. How would this daughter that's observing this, hearing the complaints of people, how should she be reacting? Should she even be reacting anyway? That's a side point here, of course, about the maturity of this lady at age 7 or 8. She's not like a young girl, a 7 or 8 year old girl. But let's picture someone that's a bit older, 12, 13, 14, 15. Okay. How should she react? What should be important for a girl that age? The lady Fatimah al-Zahra at that age, when her father comes home after being disrespected, seeing her father has ashes on his head and on his clothes, they would dump ashes on him. They would dump blood and garbage basically on the Prophet. Sometimes they would throw stones at him. He comes home. Lady Fatimah al-Zahra, this young girl, takes care of her father to an extent where the Holy Prophet refers to her as Ummu Abiha, the mother of her father, Ummu Abiha. She should be involved with maybe playing around. There's a lot of other things that she would be worried about as a child. But what's important for her? Taking care of her father. Her father is just simply being her father? No. Understanding the role of her father. Understanding the Prophet as the Prophet of God. Understanding what her father is doing, and she is contributing, right? So as a child, she is spending time and effort in the path of Islam, sacrificing. Instead of worrying about her losing her mom and expecting that her father spends time to care for her, she's the one that's lost her mother. She's a child, right? Somebody needs to give her comfort. She just sacrifices that. She helps out her father. They move to Medina. The lady Fatimah al-Zahra gets married to Amir al-Mu'mineen. Amir al-Mu'mineen is the one the Holy Prophet relies on to push the movement of Islam forward. He's out in battle, in various activities, sometimes out for months. There's an account. Amir al-Mu'mineen comes back from a battle. And as soon as he sees this lady, he realizes that she has not had food. It's evident. I don't think any of us have experienced this. You leave, you come back, you see your wife. It's obvious that she has not had the right type of food. She's lost weight. She looks pale. Amir al-Mu'minin tells her. I mean, we can go on. We can just, this one incident I feel is so important. We could talk about this for an entire hour, talking about the various dimensions of this. I'm going to make this very brief, this one example, just to get to the main point. But think about it yourself. Amir al-Mu'minin has been out. He comes back. He sees that she is pale. She has not had food. She doesn't complain to Amir al-Mu'minin. She doesn't complain. Just imagine a wife. Sometimes if we don't have enough money to buy all the luxuries that we want, we're complaining. Forget about not having the right food. If that would be the case, we'll be leaving the house. Right? See you in court. She has not had food. She does not mention it at all. Big smile. He realizes and he says, what happened? She said, there was no food. He's asking her, instead of her asking, why didn't you leave us this? Why didn't you leave? Why were you so gone for such a long period of time? You didn't leave me money, kids, this, that, the other. No. She greets him very well. She realizes what her husband is doing. This is sacrifice for the sake of Allah. Sacrifice for the sake of Allah. And this is the point that we're trying to draw. The other example, the one in Surah Al-Insan. They fast for 3 days with her hands. She makes flour and dough and she bakes it. And that's the only food they have. And she's the first to give it. They survived on water. You know the story, right? Surah Ad-Dahr, Al-Insan. Throughout her life, all these years, the lady Fatima al-Zahra, if we learn this one lesson from her, the direction of her life, what did she live her life for in this world? What is it? What are we living our lives here in this world for? What's our objective? What's our goal in life? What are we trying to accomplish? We spend these hours and hours and days and weeks and months and years for what? The lady Fatima al-Zahra is interested in marḍātillāh, God being pleased with her. Is she our uswa? Is she a role model? Are we trying to live our lives, everything we do, for the sake of God, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You might wonder, some of these concepts are too profound for us to have an understanding of. What in the world does it mean to do things to please God? What does it mean? Seriously. What does that mean? What do you get out of this? Doing things to please God. What do we get out of it? Is that really fun? Leave all the fun in the world to please God? Really? What for? Why would I want to do that? I'll please myself. Why would I please God? That's exactly how we think. That's why I'm trying to straighten out in us. She's not our uswa. Amir al-Mu'mineen isn't our uswa. Surah Baqarah, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ Hadith, best examples, Amir al-Mu'mineen. Of people, there are those, يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ They sell themselves, their entire existence, in return for God's pleasure. Amir al-Mu'mineen. Okay. Not money, not children, their entire existence. Give it. What do you want in return? God being pleased with me. Is that an uswa? Are we taking him as an uswa? What for? I'll finish that story that I started. I think it'll help us understand this. I hope we maybe get a touch of this. Just a touch. Because as I said, it's too profound. We're so bogged down with our material lives, we don't even get it. When I said Lady Fatima al-Zahra was pale, Amir al-Mu'mineen came in. He asked him, so what happened? She said, well, there wasn't food. Amir al-Mu'mineen said, well, why didn't you ask God to give you? If Maryam, Sayyidatu Nisa al-Alamin of her time, asked God, God gave her, right? She used to receive food from paradise. Mary, the mother of Jesus, ala nabina wa alihi wa alayhi salam. It's in the Quran. God sent her food from paradise. Fatima, you could have asked God. You didn't have to have worldly food. God could have provided you from paradise. Why didn't you ask God? You know what she said? We don't understand this. Huh? It's too much. She says, شغلتني لذة حضوره عن مسألته. The joy of feeling his presence, God's presence, was so much, I didn't even think of asking him. I was too busy enjoying his presence. What in the world does that mean? Enjoying God's presence? Yeah, when I'm busy with all these material, bog myself down with this garbage, that you start hating it even before leaving this world. You get fed up with it. What is this? The more you delve into it, the more you realize how ugly it is. But we still don't leave it. Leave it and realize God, His presence, feeling it and seeing it, has so much joy that the daughter of the Prophet said, I didn't even think of asking God because it was so joyful to just feel His presence. That's an uswa. We hope that on this night we try to look more towards her for that type of guidance. We see her as an uswa. We try to learn from her. Try to, on a daily basis, just look at myself and see how far I am, but then, you know, keep checking. All right, this is how she was, and I want to be like that. I want to be like her. Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum ya ahla bayt an-nubuwwah. Assalamu alaikum. Ya ahla bayt an-nubuwwah. وموضع الرسالة ومختلف الملائكة ومهبط الوحي ومعدن الرحمن وخزان العلم ومنتهى الخلق. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. It was in your homes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with guidance and revelation. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. Angels descend upon you day in and day out, seeking permission before entering upon you. As-salamu alayki ya Fatimatu Zahra. As-salamu alayki ayyatuha al-mazluma. As-salamu alayki ayyatuha al-shahida. السلام عليك أيتها المغصوبة حقها المكسورة ظلها May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved Lady Fatima al-Zahra. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved oppressed lady, the one whose rights were usurped, the one whose ribs were broken. أُلْقِي لَكِ It's difficult to talk about the atrocities against the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, especially in a center who's named after Amir al-Mu'mineen. It's difficult. They say when you go to Najaf, don't talk about what happened in Medina. The center is named by Amir al-Mu'mineen. Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, I apologize for mentioning the story. Ruhi laka al-fida, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. On this night, Amir al-Mu'mineen prepared the body of the Lady Fatima al-Zahra for burial. He told the children, my Hazan and Hussein and Zainab, if you want to cry, don't cry loudly. We don't want people to know that your mother's being buried tonight. What a lonely burial. Salam Allah alayk ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. You told the children not to cry loudly. But when you were washing the body of the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, There was a moment when you reached the shoulder of the lady, the ribs of the lady. You couldn't control yourself. And you know the moment you began to cry loudly. Fatima, you never told me what happened to your shoulder. روحي لك الفداء يا أمير المؤمنين. What a loyal companion you lost on this night. After Amir al-Mu'mineen buried the lady Fatima al-Zahra, he turned towards the Prophet. He said, Ya Rasul Allah, لقد استرجعت الوديعة. You entrusted me with your daughter. I have returned your daughter to you. Just don't ask me why. When she came to my house, her face was not bruised and swollen. السلام الله عليك يا أمير المؤمنين. أمير المؤمنين said to the Prophet, this man who is patient in every scene, every incident, as difficult as it was. Amir al-Mu'mineen told the Prophet, it will be difficult for me to be patient in the absence of your daughter. This sorrow and grief will be too difficult for me to bear. He asked the Prophet for help and support. ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون.